Hello and welcome to a brand new NBA podcast. Today we'll be talking about lots of different things, free agency, all the rumours coming up, especially to do with Portland and the LaMarcus Aldridge situation. On my left?
Hi, I'm Sam.
On my right?
And I'm Joe.
Absolutely. Right, shall we go straight into it?
Let's crack on.
Okay, the biggest thing that happened last night, in fact, Nicholas Batum traded surprisingly to the Hornets, kind of out of nowhere. I didn't hear any rumours about this. He was traded for Gerald Henderson and rookie Noah Vonleh.
Interesting move. And what happens with that is Portland now free up $3 million in cap space.
$3.5 million.
So that entices more money into LaMarcus Aldridge. And obviously, if LaMarcus doesn't want to stay, then they've got that cap space to try and entice a different free agent to possibly replace LaMarcus Aldridge.
I think that's what they want to do. It seems to me that they're in a LaMarcus is gone idea.
Sort of like that mindset.
And they're looking at the future. I have seen a few odd tweets saying maybe that's to make room to try and entice a different player to try and keep LaMarcus. But I can't see that happening personally.
Well, I think the cap space has got free now. It's good. But the fact that Gerald Henderson, I'd probably say, is as good a player as Batum. Last season,
Batum was poor.
He was awful.
Yeah, so seeing from that, Henderson is a year younger, and all he gets is one less assist and one less rebound last season, that was. And he got three more points. I mean, that's 3 points. But you got someone coming off a decent season, and then Batum coming off, you know he could probably do better.
Yeah, he had a lot of personal issues going on with his divorce and all that. And also what Charlotte was saying was the reason they wanted to get rid of Noah Vonleh is because they don't think he's quite up to the NBA standard. They think he can't catch on to defensive schemes as quickly. So maybe that was a good trade for both teams, really, to part ways.
Yeah. Well, they see him more in training than what we do. I actually quite like the look of him when I saw him for a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of players that in their rookie year they don't get it, and then after a while, their raw talent comes through, and then they end up shining. Especially in a different system, maybe in a system that might suit him better, it might work out. As far as Batum goes and playing poor, the Portland they did very well, their record. I don't know what their final record was, but they did pretty damn good. But they were always expecting Batum to get going. Lillard was keeping them in it, and Aldridge for long periods last year were keeping them in it. And they were just thinking, oh, when Batum gets going, especially in the playoffs, they'll be rolling, but it just never happened for him. Good trade overall for
Batum. Good trade. I'm all for it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if they can keep Aldridge or get a player as good as Aldridge, I think they've got another good shot next season of playing well. Maybe a few more players, role players anyway.
Veterans,
yeah. If they can get in, they should play better.
As far as Charlotte goes, now, they've got rid of Lance Stephenson and they've brought in another guard slash small forward in Batum. I think Batum, his desire to carry the ball less, will suit Kemba Walker. I think they should work better, so as a partnership it might work out.
Well, it's also the fact with Lance Stephenson as well, not taking away as many touches as well from Kemba Walker. So you'll probably see an improvement from Kemba, and with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist's improvement as well from his shot form and his intense on all defence.
Yeah, we're a fan of him. Yeah, so that's pretty good. We'll go on to the next part, which is Portland again, LaMarcus Aldridge. We seem to think he's going.
Absolutely.
He's not signing, no matter what.
I don't think so.
You've heard it here first.
Nah, especially after, was it game 4 or something, and he flew home on his own.
Just sort of distanced himself from the team.
I thought, you know, doing that and stuff like that, I think he's trying his
especially
best
in the
there.
Playoffs, it's not just an odd game.
And that's what he did as well. He sort of stayed with Lillard because he maybe thought that could work, and it hasn't so far. So I think he is chasing that ring that he wants. And if he does go to a good team, he probably can get it.
He might want for something fresh as well.
Yeah.
The heaviest rumour is LaMarcus Aldridge going to Texas, whether it's the San Antonio Spurs, Dallas Mavericks. Less rumours for the Houston Rockets.
Yep.
A little bit today has come out about the Lakers.
Yep.
And would you say it's out of them three teams? Portland?
I'd say it's between San Antonio...
Dallas.
Dallas.
Not the Lakers.
I wouldn't say the Lakers.
If you're a free agent and you don't get traded, the Lakers, they've got... Kobe, in his day, was great, but he just come after an Achilles and a broken knee.
Yeah.
Randall's been out all year. The rest of the team, Clarkson's okay, but the rest of them are just... It's not worth the time, and they've got a number two pick, I guess.
Well, what Houston are trying to do is also get rid of Terrence Jones's contract, so they're trying to free up room for a power forward. So someone like LaMarcus that can play away from the rim... He can sort of space the floor, so then Dwight Howard can do what he did at Orlando, surround him with shooters, surround him with people that can play outside and inside, get Dwight to have the rebounds. You've got a team that you can build around Dwight as well as James Harden.
If the Rockets got Aldridge, they'd be scary good. But Josh Smith is going to want his a better contract now.
Yeah.
He had his minimum last year, but he proved his worth in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's going to want a bit. I don't think they could generate the cap room for another max player in Aldridge.
But again, I don't think Josh Smith had a great playoffs. He went against a Dallas team with an aging Dirk Nowitzki, as amazing as a power forward that he is.
Josh Smith got hot a lot though during them series, and they got to the Western Conference Finals with him having big games during it.
Take the good, you take the bad with Josh Smith, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be wanting at least a decent amount, so they wouldn't be able to get Aldridge. I think it's going to be out of San Antonio. Or Dallas.
Yeah, both them teams have got power forwards still. I mean, Tim Duncan and Dirk, they can play big-ish minutes.
Yeah.
Which might be an issue for Aldridge. But maybe Duncan and Dirk, both knowing their role, they might look at...
They'll always...
Because they know, they're not egotistical like Kobe, maybe, who would want to play the same lot of minutes instead of sitting back. And as well as that, if he went to the Lakers, you've got Julius Randle... He's going to want to play these minutes as well because he's got to obviously learn, because last season he didn't play at all because of his broken leg.
I mean, Duncan can always play centre if they're going to go into that situation. But Aldridge isn't at like a point in his career where he's sort of, I can learn off Duncan a little bit and we can share minutes. You know, the trouble is when he goes to Dallas, LaMarcus Aldridge and Dirk on the court together would... Defensively, it's going to be...
catastrophic, yeah. Absolutely.
Offensively, it would be amazing. Yeah, both of them in each block. The lanes are going to be completely open. They can't double both of them. They're going to get buckets. They would have to re-sign Tyson or get a decent centre that can play big minutes to compensate.
But the thing that sort of wrecks... Not wrecks that per se, but sort of puts a hole in that idea is the Dallas situation with a point guard and the two guard situation, that you need people that are going to drive, because obviously Rondo hasn't worked out, Monte Ellis.
No, Ellis, so as far as our slasher goes, we've got nothing.
No.
Are you still looking to get Danny Green?
Yeah, Danny Green is heavily rumoured. Yeah.
But that's not, you're not doing like for like with Ellis and him, because you're going to get a spot up shooter. Ain't going to be able to make his own shots.
I think Dallas has been, when I say we, because I'm a Maverick fan, we are very panicky over our guard situation. We've got, because defensively, a couple of years ago, we had Calderon, got murdered in the playoffs. Then we had Jimmy Nelson for a little bit, got rinsed all the time. So then we've got, that's why we brought in Rondo, because he had a defensive reputation. But that was not good either. So now, I think... Every rumour, as far as a guard goes, has been a defensive guard. It's been Patrick Beverley who's been restricted. It's been Danny Green who's been defensive known. But then we also need a playmaker, and a guard. Every guard needs to be able to score in the NBA now.
Just stay away from Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got enough guards, actually. Yeah. You could give us one. Come on.
No, I'm happy with our guard rotation right now.
I see that the Nuggets... They look like they're trying to rebuild, and I see this out of Ty Lawson.
Ty Lawson, but Kings. His stock's been really low at the moment.
I don't like his contract. 12 mil. He's a very, very good player.
I think he's a good player at a bad team, though.
Mm,
I don't think the Nuggets do him justice. And if he had another star, maybe someone who could shoot that, I think it would show him a bit more. Like Westbrook has with Durant, him driving and kicking out and things like that would help Ty Lawson because of his speed. He's pretty good.
Yeah. I think if we have to finish up on this LaMarcus Aldridge thing, if I had to bet, I would actually say I think he's going to Dallas. He's from Dallas. I think his girlfriend's from Dallas as well. Although there's a lot of question marks about it, because he'll look at the squad and who's currently on contract and be a bit wary. I can't see him at San Antonio. I have no idea why I can't see him there. So that's my opinion. What about you?
I'm gonna crush the rumours right now. He was seen at Boston. He's not gonna be at Boston. He was in Boston with Tony Parker to see Kevin Hart. Unless Boston want to bring in Tony Parker
or Kevin Hart, he's an MVP.
Kevin Hart, he's MVP.
He's MVP. What is it, 3 or 4 times now? So
yeah, he had to submit to Arnie Duncan though. Well deserved though,
mate. If the Spurs miss out on Marcus Aldridge, an Arnie Duncan Tim Duncan combo could work, especially against the smaller teams. Just saying. Okay, if you have to pick a team for LaMarcus, if you were LaMarcus Aldridge,
well, I'll probably go San Antonio just because Tim Duncan can play centre, and then you'd be playing with one of the best power forwards of all time, which
and
would
one of
be,
his coaches.
Yeah, would be obviously an honour to do that. And with that as well, you know that you're going to go into a team that's going to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't see them not making the playoffs.
And a high chance of getting at least to the final, conference finals.
Yeah, again, so you've got a good chance of actually getting that ring that Aldridge is after.
So, Batum's gone, their third man. Aldridge has gone, their main man, Damian Lillard.
Well, you saw his tweet, the toughest part of the business. What do you think he means upon that?
It could be just frustration. I mean, I think he loves Portland, doesn't he? I mean, he's got the zero because of Oakland. He's around that sort of part of the world. He's there for 3 years, no matter what. I mean, they're not going to trade him. He can be frustrated, but I think it's going to be a hard couple of years for Lillard.
I'm not high on Lillard. I'm really not sold on Lillard.
I thought he was going to have a breakout year last year, and he stayed about the same.
I think he dropped. He just declined.
Not massively
dropped, but he came across, like, not last season, the season before, he came across as a great point guard.
Yeah.
Then all of this season, we're expecting, Damian Lillard participated in everything last season. We're going to expect all-star Damian Lillard again.
He's been exposed a little bit defensively.
Defensively exposed, he's got Wesley Matthews to cover his defensive lapses, but at the same time, as soon as his attitude dropped because he'd found out he wasn't in the All-Star team...
Yeah, that bothered me.
That bothered me because he should have been in the mindset of, I'm going to prove everyone wrong. I'm going to show these people why they should have chosen me.
He likes to state a lot about having to prove people wrong as well. Instead of just getting on with it, he always feels like he's being hard done by. And I know that's always recommended, always get a chip on your shoulder and stuff, but don't broadcast it and moan about it all the time. Yeah. Get on with it. Get in the training instead of on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he had such good start seasons, it's all paved the way for like getting better every season. But obviously this season he has dropped a bit. So yeah, I don't think he's going to get much, but he might get a bit better. But I don't see him competing with like Wall for like guards.
John Wall went up.
Yeah,
a lot
so
last
the,
year.
The both of them guards are going up and up, and he sort of stayed that same level.
I know it's a bit early to say, but do you think he's reached his ceiling?
No, he will get better. He'll be smarter.
I think just getting, especially playoff basketball and playing that. But obviously with them gone, he might even get playoff basketball.
Yeah. I think because of the playoff basketball, especially the Rocket shot, the year after, I think he seemed to think he became a lights out shooter and could take over games.
Yeah.
And although he had a lot of clutch moments the season before, he sometimes shot the Portland out of the game last year. So he needs to be smarter. Last thing about Portland, we've said about Batum, LaMarcus, Lillard, now Wes Matthews. Coming off an Achilles injury, there was a bit of footage of him training, just did a crossover and hit a three, and everyone thought he could play in an NBA game. He's a good player, but he has recently come out, rumoured to say he still wants $15 million a year. We'll start with Joe?
Yeah.
It's a lot for a player that's, at the moment, is. You'd probably say...
It'll be 20.
Third, he'll be your with Aldridge, Lillard, and Batum there last season. He was third, fourth man in your team. You can't be paying that much for your third or fourth man, especially with an injury as well.
He'll be 29 when the start of the season comes, and he's coming off an Achilles injury.
Great guard. Obviously, you can see him coming up in the clutch. You can see his defensive moments, but then it's $15 million for someone that's just had an injury.
It's not like
Kobe Bryant.
It's not like he's restricted either. I mean, the Parsons deal, he was restricted off arrival. You always had to pay a bit more, even though, you know, and Parsons was younger as well. It was in his fourth year. This off an Achilles injury. I know the cap's going up, but
I could see teams offering between 10 to 12 free service, but $15 million is too much of an asking price, really, especially.
I think he'd. Oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, especially when the cap is going up. I wouldn't pay 15 million for a service of what Wesley Matthews can provide, but obviously you don't know what he's going to be as he comes back.
I think in free agency, he's going to have a little wake-up call. Unless, like, a small team with loads of cap space just goes, oh, I'll give it to him.
Awesome.
No, I was thinking more 76ers or Knicks just for a year. I would...
Yeah.
I would... He's going to have to take less than 50 million for at least a year, prove himself that he's past his Achilles injury, he's still got that explosiveness, because he needs to be able to turn on defense when he's got that Achilles injury. Prove himself for another year, cap goes up, get your 15 mil then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
Especially as well, I mean, maybe it's going to be 15 mil just because we know, I know he got his injury, but we know that he's good defense, he's good. So, maybe that's why it's a bit higher. Yeah, again, the injuries are, it's a killer.
I'd give him 15 mil, but over 2 years.
Disrespect.
Okay. I like him. A lot of Dallas fans like him as well, but yeah. There's other people to go for. Right, David West, opting out of 13 million.
Crazy, but obviously he's getting old now. He's getting
really
old.
Surprising.
He wants it. He wants to contend, so... He will possibly look at taking a vet min at different teams.
Do you think he'll go down to as low as a vet min from 13 mil?
From 13 mil, I think he wants that. I think he wants that ring, so I think he will drop to the absolute min.
I'd have enormous respect for him if he did something like that. I thought he'd go to maybe like, still like 5 to 7. Just get somewhere. Well, what sort of mark would you think?
Yeah, similar to that, really.
5 to 7.
But I don't see the point in him leaving the Pacers, because with him, they're a better team.
He's apparently the heart and soul with their team.
Yeah,
apparently,
I don't see the point. And he must know that Paul George is going to come back. He's seen him training and stuff, and he's going to be playing well. I think they will be the same team they were 2 seasons ago, which they could have got to the finals.
If they wanted to do that, Hibbert needs to start playing basketball.
Yeah.
Yep.
They need to get a Lance replacement. I think they should go for Monte Ellis.
Well, the direction that Indiana wants to go
Hill played really good at the end of the season as well when he came back.
He balled out.
Yeah.
But the direction the Indiana Pacers want to go in is a small ball team. So they're talking about Roy Hibbert getting used to limited minutes, getting used to 20 minutes a game, but coming
Paul
off the bench.
Playing at the 5. They want to go for that Golden State small ball sort of thing.
If it works, for Golden State...
They haven't got the resources Golden State has. You know, they don't have a Iguodala and a Bogut and everything like that and all the options. Although, I don't know about their cap space, but maybe if they could somehow get David Lee in, use him. He's a good ball, moving the ball, getting to them open players like Paul George and everything. He's got good hands.
Yeah.
Could be an option. So, David West, if he's going to go for a vet minimum to a team he wants to win a championship, Cleveland would be a...
Cleveland is my shot. Cleveland is what I'm saying. But Kendrick Perkins, more.
They were going for a lot of big... Oh, no Perkins, but he didn't play anyway. They won't have Marion now.
They won't have Marion.
They've got Mozgov. Varejao's coming back. They'll keep Tristan Thompson, and they're going to be paying him a lot.
Mm.
So, but David West can definitely play a role there. And he would get minutes, unlike Marion did.
But if you think, if Kevin Love comes back to Cleveland and they play Tristan Thompson at the 5 or Mozgov at the 5, think about having David West coming off the bench for you. That's frightening, having someone with such a post presence like David West, an aggressive player and someone who's got a high basketball IQ.
Good off the court as well.
Yeah.
It'll help Kyrie's development as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a similar thing with Garnett. When you have him on the bench, just him in your ear telling you what to do, especially as a young person like Tristan Thompson, it's going to be so good.
Give you confidence.
Just giving you advice, really.
When KG went to the Timberwolves, they immediately looked like an even better. They looked better. They looked like they had more confidence in themselves. A few other teams that West has, we think he might be considering. The Clippers, they'll need bigs.
They need bigs. They lost Spencer Hawes. So our only backup big is Glenn Davis.
His baby. It was straight.
Quality.
Miami Heat, if they had a team of Dragic, Wade, Deng, Bosch and Whiteside, I don't know how they'd work that with cap with Dragic and Wade going on at the moment.
Well, we're talking about giving Dragic 20 million a year. Then obviously if Dwayne Wade commands 16 to 20 million a year.
I'm a big fan of Dragic, but 20 mil is a bit. He's not a number one guy.
No, absolutely.
He's a very good. He's like a number two or three, and a very good three if that. But bit heavy for me. Houston's another option, especially if Josh Smith doesn't work out or something like that. They're a bit too fast-paced for Houston. David West, it's a bit too fast-paced for him, I think. Also, he can't really hit a three. They like three-point shooters.
Yeah.
He'll get in Howard's way. OKC?
Yeah, I can see OKC being one of those people that... a team that shows an interest in him, but I don't think he will make the transition to OKC. He wants to go to a contender, and with the West looking how it is, and with the potential of what it's going to be next season, I think he stays in the East. That's why I'm putting my picks down as Cleveland.
Yeah, same. I mean, OKC, they've still got bigs that he's going to have to compete with if he does want to play. And again, it's going to be a tough West this season again.
I think West is strong enough. He's a big presence. I think he can bump with the West. If I was David West as well, I'd go Cleveland or OKC. I think Clippers, Heat, Portland, Houston, they're all your second choices. But I think OKC and Cleveland, if they can work out a deal, that'd be the way to go.
Yeah.
If I was David West, I'd stay at the Pacers, but I know he's opted out, so, you know.
It was a pay rise. Opting out to re-sign the deal. $15 million a year at the Pacers, that'd be terrible. Okay, over to Sam. He wants to talk about Kevin Love.
First, two things I want to touch on will be Kevin Love and DeMarcus Cousins. Kevin Love, though, opting out.
He did say he was going to stay.
He was going to stay, but LeBron has even come out and saying, I'm not going to convince him to stay. It's that whole mentality of fit in or don't try to fit in. So I think Kevin Love might have enough of it. There's rumours of going to...
Kevin Love has been disrespected by the Cleveland. They don't realise how good a player they've got.
He's a great player, but then again, he was utilising a Minnesota team which didn't have great players. Like, they had...
They had Rubio, they had Pekovic.
Yeah, but Rubio wasn't a shooter and Pekovic was always injured. So Kevin Love was the number one guy. He's going to get your rebounds, he's going to get your points.
500, they were a 500 team in the West. And they didn't have any bench, they didn't have Wiggins at the time.
That's the thing, if Wiggins was there with West, that is a solid team. And that's going to attract other people.
Love and Wiggins.
Yeah, with them two players, you would have had I know the trade involved Kevin Love for Wiggins. But if you had someone like Wiggins, you're going to have a good team. Whereas before, like Sam was saying, they had nothing. They had no shooter in Rubio. And no people that can make their own shot.
Yeah.
So,
well, in his last year at Minnesota, when he was utilised properly, he was a 26 points, 12.5 rebound a game player. Now, that's
special. That's
big. And he got half a block a game. That isn't that great. He got a lot of assists as well, though, for a big. He got 4.5 assists a game.
But that's the thing. If you put him with a shooter, a good shooter, that's going to be 6-7 because people know that he can play in the post and he's dangerous from 3-point there, so you're going to get people trying to block him and defend him, and he's going to open up for other people. So
he's a 50% shooter from the field, from 2-point range, 36-37% for his career from 3-point range, and for a stretch 4, that's the numbers that everyone in the league wants.
Yeah.
I would love to see Kevin Love at Boston.
I'd love to see Love.
Well, what Woj dropped as a bomb was Boston are going to try and pursue Kevin Love, but also try and form a team with him of Paul Pierce and Robin Lopez, which I like that. Paul Pierce has
on paper
that veteran presence to give those rookies the Celtic pride. Paul Pierce and KG embodied that Celtic pride, and they gave it their all every game they was out there. What's that?
Mbutu.
But at the same time, I think Paul Pierce would be a great leader for the young rooks. He would also be a great presence for that team. The crowd would get more into it. And Robin Lopez wasn't exactly a scrub last season.
I like Rolo, but I think there's better defensive centres out there. If you could somehow trade up in the draft, get a defensive centre, that would be ideal. Or maybe get... There's a few centres about this year. If you could somehow get Love a defensive centre, Rolo's okay, they could do. And Paul Pierce, that would be good. But I wouldn't like... I suppose, yeah, Paul Pierce would kind of be your fifth man because you still got Bradley, you still got Marcus Smart, you still got Isaiah Thomas. So that guard rotation is very strong.
That's
cemented.
But I think with Boston, they're talking about trading up in the draft. So that could be a potential to sign Cordy Stein, who is from college, was a fantastic prospect. And over before Okafor and Towns, he is the third most sought after big man, with Okafor being the most NBA ready. But Okafor isn't known for his defensive presence. He's known as the most NBA ready player who's coming in to the NBA with the most post moves seen since Tim Duncan coming into the NBA. So that is a promising prospect.
I'd like my centre to be a defensive centre, and I like to sort of the smaller players to be more offensive. But I think because your defensive guards and your perimeter defence is going to be so good, you can have a defensive centre, offensive centre. Hence why you want Boogie. Hence why Kevin Love could be useful. So Okafor would suit your team,
yeah,
very well. But the Lakers probably going to get him. Kevin Love staying at Cleveland though.
Yeah, I mean he said he was, but. Again, if a team comes in for him and says to him, we're going to give it a good go, not like Timberwolves giving him a load of rubbish to play with.
Yeah.
Boston come in and say, we're going to get you, we've got good players anyway, Boston. We made the playoffs. And he knows that they can make the playoffs again. Maybe they say, oh, we'll bring in someone else as well. Especially a good centre.
Yeah, I think if you were going to get Love, you have to get a decent player beforehand.
To entice him.
His squad's nice at the moment, but it hasn't got that one player where you look at and you think, I want to play with him.
Yeah.
So
that's the problem. He's gone to Cleveland and he's playing with two great players. I think he only needs one, Kevin Love, because he's the other great player.
Yeah.
When you've got, Miami did do it, but again, Bosch did take that step back.
Coming from Toronto, he was intense in Toronto, and now step back.
Yeah. So, again, I don't think Kevin Love does want to do that. He does want to win, but he doesn't want to be the third man in that.
He wasn't even the third man. When J.R. Smith came along, he was taking more shots and being used more than Kevin Love, and that's unacceptable. Mm. Moving on to Boogie. There was Lakers talk.
For Lakers talk, number two pick, Julius Randle and Clarkson. I'll tell you why I think it's a bad idea.
Tell me why.
Celtics fan here, so hate the Lakers. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, you're not the biggest Kobe fan.
Biggest Kobe fan. I don't rate him too highly. He's obviously a great player, but that's it for another time. So you're willing to give up the number two pick. You're going to give me Julius Randle, who's been injured the whole season from a season-ended injury. And a prospect in Clarkson for an NBA superstar in DeMarcus Cousins.
Clarkson is a role player, yeah. Boogie's a franchise player.
Boogie is a franchise player. And you're going to give me someone who you don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy again, who's going to be a risk, a number two player in Okafor, which can be fantastic, but then you've got a superstar in DeMarcus Cousins. Sacramento say no. That is my opinion.
Yeah. You can't be risking it with draft picks. You know what you've got in DeMarcus Cousins. The Kings should be building it around him. They tried to for the past couple of seasons, but they just didn't do a good job. I think
Stauskas.
Over Alfred Payton.
Yeah, I think they just need a good guard. And they got Rudy Gay, who he hasn't played well.
He had a good season last season.
Yeah, the season before, though, he sort of wasn't as good. We know he can play really good. But yeah, I think you've got to build around. You can't be trading your best player, who is probably.
The Kings would go too far down. It would take ages for them to get a player that good back. Even if they've got Okafor, and Okafor became a very good player. Is he going to become better than Boogie? And if he's going to become better than Boogie, how many years? You've already got a person who you want Okafor to become, so why trade him?
Yeah.
All right, you might get Randle again, but it would take too long. How long did the Kings fans can wait?
Yeah. But I'm going to pop in a little scenario for you guys, see what you think. If I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm going to offer you my first round pick this year.
The number one pick.
The number one pick. I'm going to offer you next year's first rounder. Top three protected. I'm going to offer you Andrew Wiggins and Nikola Pekovic for DeMarcus Cousins and your sixth pick. Are you going to deal with me? You got to think.
So Boogie in a sixth pick.
Boogie in a sixth pick.
For Wiggins. Pekovic. A number one pick.
Yep, and a center already, Pekovic.
I'll do it.
You'll do it?
I'll do it.
No, you can't do that.
Who says no?
I think Wiggins could potentially be better than Boogie is, Plus, I get a number one pick, so I could get a really good centre to replace him.
You can get Towns. You can get.
I get. What was it? Pekovic as well. I get.
You get Pekovic.
So I would get a person that can hold the team up their own while the rookie's being developed.
Yep.
And I would have to give around a number six pick, but I'd already get the number one. I would do that. I would do that.
You wouldn't do it.
Nah, it depends what team I am. Who am I?
You can be any team.
So I'm the Timberwolves. I'm going to say no. I can't give up.
No, I wouldn't give up Wiggins. No, I'm talking about if I was a king.
Yeah, if I was the Kings, I'd say, yeah, because Pekovic he's a good player.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
He gets some rebounds. He won't obviously be a Boogie Cousins, but he'll be.
But your number, that number one pick, you get a defender. You either get, what is it, Towns or Okafor, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got Wiggins. Oh, I would do it. It's like, I still think Timberwolves would get Boogie, but then they've got nothing to give him.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of a Kevin Love again.
But then you've got a sixth pick, and here's the interesting thing. You also have $20 million in your cap room now. Do you go back after Kevin Love as your four and have DeMarcus Cousins as your five?
No one's going to want to join you if you haven't got Wiggins.
But if you've got DeMarcus Cousins, you've got a superstar. That's why I'm thinking, that's why I'd rather have that scenario than have the Lakers scenario, because then you're going to have the LA draw, you're going to have Jack Nicholson's appeal, whatever that may be, you're going to have DeMarcus and Kobe, so they're going to reap the benefits of, like, Kevin Love, come here, you can play in front of Jack Nicholson.
I think...
Or Adam Sandler.
Or Adam Sandler. We're talking about Knicks or Lakers, I'm not sure which one. Yo, can I
be in Pixels too? I think, like, that deal would be monumental. That would, like, destroy Twitter. Twitter would just, you know, crash.
I think I'll break my phone.
It would be amazing. But the Lakers talk is the actual one actually happening. That isn't going to happen. You know, the Kings are sometimes silly, but they're not going to trade Boogie for pennies. Lakers, unfortunately...
Wiggins aren't exactly pennies,
right? Lakers are trying to get people from their reputation from the 80s and, like, a few years ago, but... you look at the squad, there's nothing there, and until the first free agent signs there, let's say Aldridge signs there, then the others might go, oh, they can attract them. But until the first person goes there, they're not getting anyone, and they need to realise they're going to suck for a while. Same with the Knicks. I mean, the teams they were playing at the end of the season, the players, they were awful.
I don't envy Phil Jackson at all.
Okay, so you talked about your Mr. Kevin Love. We'll go on to the Clippers fan.
Yeah.
Wearing the Olajuwon jersey.
The old flim flammer. Yeah. You didn't see that one coming.
It shocked me.
Whoa. Lance Stephenson was trained for Harrison Barnes, Matt Barnes, and Spencer Hawes.
That's Harrison Barnes.
You've got Lance Stephenson. How do you feel?
I can't stand him. I don't like. Yeah, he's good, but he's too inconsistent for one.
17% from three last year?
Yeah.
That's not my doubt.
But I have heard that maybe we can use him to trade. So he might not be there for long because of his locker room palavers and things like that. That he has a lot of...
What, palavers. A case of buy low and sell high if he has a good start of a season?
Yeah, maybe. That could be an option. But again, I also see that people that can create their own shots in the Clippers, Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford,
a little bit of Blake here and there.
Yeah, but that's like a big man, like especially with threes and stuff. I know he shot 70%, which is ridiculous. But he can do that. And he's a bit all-round as well, which is nice to have.
He's not going to shoot 17% from three every year.
No, yeah. But then you've just lost Matt Barnes. Getting my head there. You've lost Matt Barnes, who's a small forward. So now you've got no one to back him up. So it don't really make sense. You're going to have to look for another small forward.
It was to create a bit more cap, though. Save a bit more cap. So
I prefer Coach Rivers to GM Rivers.
Who doesn't? I've never really been a big fan of Matt Barnes, so if he's not at the Clippers, I'm all for it.
Well, he's now at the Grizzlies, so...
He's been moved to the Grizzlies. He's going to play tough with them, so that might fit in. He'll probably fit in more than maybe Jeff Green did.
Yeah.
But Jeff Green will still be there, so they'll share him in it, so...
Might be too.
I think Barnes is off the bench. That's why... I haven't liked the Clippers small forward, which they've needed for years to compete. Good defensive small forward.
Well, you did it. You had Danny Granger, but he couldn't keep him healthy. Well, couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Danny Granger was a great asset, but if he stayed healthy, it would have been even better.
Yeah.
Quick one. Monty Ellis opted out of his contract. Quite predictably, if he opted in, rumour Dallas would have traded him.
No loyalty for Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, harsh.
Mark Cuban.
Well, we've got an idea that we're going to get Aldridge and Jordan and then somehow have enough room to get a decent backcourt. But it's going to be interesting, Dallas, next year. As always, you know, we want to get that chemistry, like Mark Cuban said, but we rebuild every year. It's going to be fun next year anyway. But Monty Ellis has opted out. But we won't re-sign him unless somehow he takes less than $8 million, which isn't going to happen. Miami Heat interested in him. Indiana Pacers. Atlanta Hawks. Joe, do you want to start at them three or anything from his mindset? How much would you pay for him?
He is a good player, so he does deserve, like you say, $8 million. And then you get Wes Matthews saying $15 million. I'd take... Obviously, Wes Matthews is going to be overpaid if he gets $15 million. I think Monty Ellis has been underpaid. So he'd probably say like $11 million, maybe. About 10.
I think he's going to be wanting about 12 or 13 because this is going to be his last big contract.
How old is he now?
I think he's about 29. I think he's going into 30s. I'll have a quick check.
With Monty Ellis, it's going to pain you as a Dallas Maverick fan to say this, but...
I loved him, man.
I like him on the Heat. I like him on the Heat. If you, it sucks to say it, but if you think about it, if you push Dwayne to the three, you leave Dragic at a one, push Monte to the two. Monte is a predominantly strong ball handler. That's why him and Rondo clash, is because he was trying to get the ball balanced between them two, but Dwayne won't bring the ball up as much.
He'll be 30 at the start of the season.
He'll be 30. Yeah. But then if Dragic... I think Dragic will be able to compliment Monte more than what Rondo
Dragic
would
wanted to leave the Suns because he wasn't getting the ball enough.
Yeah, but
then there's Wade as well, who likes to carry it.
With Dragic though, it wasn't too much of a case of having the ball. It was he was told you might as well just stand in the corner and shoot threes.
Yeah.
So that was a bad direction
from Hornacek. Especially in the fourth, where Dragic is actually quite effective. Monte Ellis, he would only join the Heat if Wade or Dragic goes. I think personally. At the Atlanta Hawks...
Oh, I can see that.
I don't like
him. Even Jeff Teague. I don't think we'd expect the ball constantly.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite a weight off Jeff Teague's shoulders because there's not... You get Dwight...
Dennis Schroeder.
That's it. Him coming off, he's not great, he's okay. But then, again, I'll probably play... You'd sort of share the ball between him and Teague. And they're both quick players and it could... That could work.
And he has got a bad rap. I mean, Ellis was passing to Rondo a heck of a lot and wanted to share the ball. But, yeah, it wasn't happening, really, at the end of the day. I think he's a fantastic player. I think at the Hawks, he would find Korver, and he's a great passer as well, an underrated passer. So, he wants his shots, like anyone. Yeah. But, you know, I think the Hawks would like that, maybe a go-to guy now and again, because they don't actually have a go-to guy. Yeah. It's arguably their strength, but it's also a weakness.
All the Pacers, what you've got to think about
I love about the Pacers.
It's great, because he's a great offensive weapon.
Larry would get good out of him.
And his defence isn't amazing, but where you've got a coach within Frank Vogel...
You have George Hill next to him.
You've got George Hill.
Yeah, Paul George next to him. That George Hill doesn't expect the ball constantly, as he works well with Lance Stephenson. Paul George doesn't either. Paul George likes an offensive player next to him.
Yeah.
Ellis, that's a perfect fit. That's a perfect fit. And I'm a big Pacers fan. I'm a Mavericks fan. Out of the East teams, I like the Pacers and the Sixers. So.
I think if he doesn't go Pacers, I think he'll go Heat. But that's just my personal opinion.
Another team might always come in for him. I mean, Milwaukee might go back in for him. Jason Kidd might like him. If they lose Brandon, no, they've lost Brandon Knight. Went to the Suns, didn't he? Who was their point guard?
It was Suns.
Carter Williams.
Yeah. To the Bucks, yeah.
Carter Williams. So they could have Carter Williams and Ellis as a backcourt.
Maybe, but I won't see him come back to the Bucks because he's been there. They're not going to be looking to win the championship next year, I don't think.
Well, he's going to be an interesting one. Okay. We've gone through the news and a few different ideas. We're going to do a little game now, a franchise game. We're going to get two players and we're going to argue which one, if you had to start a franchise, so you have no other players, if you're going to start a franchise, who would you pick, okay? So Sam has got two players for me and Joe to debate.
I'm going to go straight away with Isaiah Thomas from the Detroit era, and John Stockton from Utah. Who you got?
Go on, you go first.
Well,
we say we got first, and then...
Yeah, I was given John Stockton.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yep, you was given John Stockton, Joe was given Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, so what, we're going to have a minute each quickly?
30 seconds.
30 actually. Seconds, yeah. Okay, right. John Stockton, he led this league in all-time assists and steals, okay? He also could score and had a three-point shot, so he's balanced in game. He played hard, like, he did all the little cheeky stuff, which I quite like, and he's a good leader. I think if I drafted other players, I think no matter which team he's in, he'll be able to get the best out of other players. He's selfless, but he can also take over, as he did the famous iconic shot. And he had longevity, played late until his 30s.
Yeah.
So I like John Stockton. I don't think he hasn't really got a weakness.
Okay, then. Isaiah Thomas. I do believe he is, behind Magic Johnson, the best point guard of all time. Debatable. Yeah, and... the fact that the
not
Detroit
point
team,
forward guard LeBron, sorry, go.
And at the Detroit team that won the championships, there wasn't another NBA. There was Hall of Famers, not Joe Dumars.
There wasn't a Karl Malone next to him.
There wasn't a Karl Malone. Yeah, probably one of the top three of power forwards, not Duncan, maybe a couple of others you could think of. But
except the German, Karen Karen.
Yeah, yeah, but the fact that he could do it all. And in the game when he sprained his ankle.
That was a good game. Shame he lost, though.
Yeah. You know that he's playing on that ankle and scoring that many points. That's a leader. Leading by example. Don't think John Stockton, because he never had a chance to do that. But, you know, with Karl Malone being there, but yeah. I don't know, really. Yeah, it's too tough. They're so good, both of them. But, yeah.
As a point guard, I want assist, hustle, leadership, longevity, and a bit of everything. And that's why I like Stockton, he had a bit of everything.
Yeah.
You're the final verdicts.
Yeah, it's coming to Sam. Who made the best points? My points were awful, but you know.
Your points were shocking. I agree with you, though. Shockingly enough, I agree with you, but he's the second best point guard behind Magic Johnson. But Alan did convince me a lot more than what you did.
Yeah.
I think
Isaiah Thomas speaks for himself.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas can take over games more than maybe Stockton.
Just don't let him take over a franchise, whatever you do.
Bands. He can take over the games a lot more. But I think, as a point guard, I'd say he could, to get the players better out of him, I think Stockton possibly could have done. Although Isaiah Thomas maybe off the court got them unified for Detroit. So there's an argument for both. Okay, my one for Mr. Sam and Mr. Joe. Mr. I've got Mr. Steve Nash and Mr. Jason Kidd. I've got to go for the Mavs, don't I? So, they're very, very similar. Who have you got, Sam?
I've got Steve Nash.
And I've got Jason Kidd.
Right, Joe, you can start because you already warmed up, so...
Yeah. Both very similar. Both Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. But I've got to take Jason Kidd just because of his all-round game. I know he's obviously one of the triple-double masters that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he can get rebounds. And again, Nash played with Stoudemire, which is a good power forward. Similarly, my argument with Isaiah Thomas never had that sort of player.
Kaufman.
Jason Kidd, yeah. Jason Kidd...
In his prime when he was at the Nets.
Yeah, again. And he took them to the finals back in, whatever it was, 2005 against the Spurs, was it? Can't remember, but yeah, it was him alone, I believe, that did that. Whereas Steve Nash never had. It's tough again. You can't do this to me, guys.
2005 was Detroit, San Antonio.
I'm gonna say, give me Steve Nash. Give me Steve Nash. Give me a 2x MVP. Give me an 8x All Star, and give me a 5x leader of assists for our NBA seasons. Give me someone that can run the pick and roll so effectively, like Steve Nash can. With Stoudemire and Nash, obviously having Marion there as well, that team was deadly. And that team could have made...
But it's a franchise, you don't have these players next to him. If you have Nash on his own, no other players.
But I'm trying to appeal to what he has accomplished, that he is such a great player. And with that Suns team, you really saw the best out of Steve Nash. You could see the three-point shooting, you can see basically Mr. 50-40-90, really.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, with that franchise, though, as well, like I said, triple doubles and things like that, you're going to need that all-round player.
But with the Suns as well, they got cheated out by Spurs, but I'm not going to go into that.
It's a difficult. It's difficult. I think it's a draw. I think you both had quite good points. I'm struggling to pick one.
Such a cop out answer.
Well, you're right. He got MVPs and stuff, but then you did mention about players around him and the system. You'd have to play the system for him to do so well in the run and gun.
Absolutely agree.
And you didn't bring up points for what you could do if you wasn't playing the system with Nash. But you did say he's a 50-40-90 shooter, so he's got that scoring. You've got the all-round game. Oh, I don't know. I'll call it a draw, unfortunately. That's terrible. I know that's a cop-out.
Good game.
That's a cop-out.
Good game.
If I had to draft one, I personally would pick Kidd. He didn't have his three-point shot early in his career, but he had a bit of defence. He had a bit of everything. And again, oh, they were both great. They're both great, but I think I would just pick Kidd out of the two.
Yeah.
My one. You ready? I was going to say Magic Bird, but I've changed it.
I've changed it.
Dwayne Wade or Allen Iverson?
Give me Dwayne Wade. Give me the Flash.
I can't pick him. I've got to go Allen Iverson anyway.
Give me Dwayne Wade. Give me the guy that was the main go-to guy to beat Dallas.
No. The refs are the main go-to guy. He likes a bit of free throws.
But Dwayne Wade has been so athletic. He's been probably one of the top three shooting guards of all time.
That's what he did in real life. You need to say, if you drafted him, why would you draft this guy?
He's the most athletic. He's such a great person to cut to the basket. He's unselfish. For example, if I'm just an instance, when LeBron was there, he gave the reins to LeBron. He was given the ownership of the Heat. He was basically saying, "You, LeBron, you can lead this team." But as them two, he can basically partner up with anyone. He can compliment any people well. Dwayne Wade is great getting to the basket. He's a great all-round player, really. As dirty as he is, give me the best top third shooting guard of all time. I'll take him.
Okay, well, Allen Iverson, right? Number one draft pick. Dwayne Wade wasn't. So, this is it all.
But look at the draft class.
Yeah.
LeBron and Miletic.
Yeah, I know. But Iverson's draft class did have some good players as well. Iverson, MVP in 2001, when you had players like Shaq and Kobe and everything around him. So he showed that he can do that. Wade might have given the reins to be selfless and give the reins to other people. Iverson was forced in his career to take that responsibility. The Sixers had no one except a 35-year-old Dikembe Mutombo with him. He got them into the finals and is the only team to beat that Lakers in the playoffs. They went 4-4-4. 4-1, didn't they?
No.
So, Iverson can take over. He has the courage and bravery to take on anyone. I mean, the Jordan thing, he wanted to play him one-on-one.
Yeah.
He's a scorer. He was inefficient at times, I'll give you that. But he did what he did, had to do for a win. You say he's selfish, but he did average more assists per game than Michael Jordan did. So he did actually average more assists per game than Michael Jordan. So as far as passing, he did do it. And he could just take over. He was polarising. So as far as building your franchise brand as well, you could help with that. He sold more shirts than any other person at the time. I think he sold more shirts than Jordan for a while as well. So I know that's not strictly on the court, but... Wade's a dick, so... I know that's not exactly under my argument.
Great argument.
And for that argument, Sam wins.
I know, but he's a dick. I don't know.
No, I'd say Wade, to be honest. That's more me knowing that I'd pick Wade than Sam's argument, because you both made good points.
I think if I was drafting, I hate Dwayne Wade, but Iverson didn't have that longevity because he had problems in the end of his career. So we would have only had a few years with him, hypothetically.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Iverson. I've got the old jersey up there, but... Wade, loyal, as I say, he took a little cut for his team and stuff. He wants more than that now, but, you know. Okay, that was a good game. We'll do maybe that next week as well.
Yeah.
Okay, any additional things? Lottery teams that you're looking forward to next year?
I'm not exactly a lottery team, but I'm looking forward to a certain player next year.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker.
Jabari Parker. Oh,
coming back from his ACL.
He wants to win sophomore of the year, does he?
No, someone that's shooting 50% field goal. Throughout the time that he was playing, he averaged 12.3 points per game and 5.5 rebounds. And you've got to think that the Bucks team is developing. I'm not sold on Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think he's that great.
No.
But he's young. He's
young. He can develop. But I'm excited to see Jabari, like the sort of fire in his eyes that, oh, if I didn't go down, maybe I could have picked Andrew Wiggins to that.
I think that's a good pick. I'm looking forward to the Bucks as well. I like Jason Kidd as a coach. He got the Bucks playing. Really lengthy, very entertaining, lovely new jerseys. But I'm looking forward to the Timberwolves next year. They got a new number one pick.
I love it.
They got Wiggins. They got my man Rubio.
I hate him so much.
Rubio.
Rubio, he's good. He's good
at passing the ball.
And KG's going to be there for one more year, so it's gonna be interesting. They're a lottery team. I'm looking forward to him. What can I say?
What am I looking forward to? I don't know, really. It's just good. I'm looking forward to maybe Chris Bosh coming back. He didn't have a injured all last season.
I don't forget him.
And, you know, he didn't get a chance without LeBron last season, like he obviously had before that he was playing. And yeah, it's good. It would be nice to see him being the main man again. I know Dwayne Wade's, but he's still old, and Dwayne Wade, so he's not going to be playing as much, so it'd be nice to see that.
Wade did have played more games last season. What did
Wade actually? I'm surprised how healthy Wade stayed last year.
Mm. Disappointment for me.
Disappointment. Yeah. Now we've gone from what we're looking forward to disappointing teams of last year.
Disappointment teams. I'm going to say Clippers, but come back to me with that one because I might have something different in a second.
Disappointing teams. Well, the Knicks were just awful. We knew that. So. Disappointing teams. Maybe even the Heat. I know they had injury problems, but they still had Wade and Dragic.
Yeah.
And Whiteside was playing really well. You know.
Triple double against the Bulls with blocks. What's that about?
Yeah. I know Boston did play well, but I think Heat probably should have got that 8th seed. I mean, I wouldn't have said Boston. I mean, that trade with Isaiah Thomas, though, that was a big help to the Boston Celtics. So, you know, yeah, I was a bit disappointed with the Heat.
Disappointing team for me. Clippers, fair enough, but the Spurs.
I wouldn't.
They blew a game right at the end to come 6th seed, and although they did they played hard in their playoff game. You expected more from the Spurs. You expected more from them.
I'm not disappointed in the Spurs. I'm not one bit. I'm gutted that they didn't go as far as what they should do because Tim Duncan, to me, greatest power forward of all time. Manu Ginobili, the greatest international draft player of all time.
Yeah, but he's a bit...
He's very hot and cold. Tony Parker played awful.
He was disappointed all year.
Which disappointed me was with Greg Popovich not realising how bad Tony Parker was playing. He should have had a bit more pride and said... Tony, you need to come out. I'm going to send in Corey. I'm going to send in Patty Mills. They're doing a better job than you are. But by not taking out Tony Parker, Popovich really affected the outcome of that series.
Yeah, his points per game was way below what
he should have been. His efficiency was awful as well.
Other disappointing playoff moments. And I know the playoffs are over and Gonzay did phenomenal. But any other things in the playoffs that you wanted more of?
Well,
I wanted more wrestling from Kelly Olynyk on Kevin Love.
No. That armbar.
One thing I'm really disappointed is the fact that no one on the Cavs stepped up other than LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, Shumpert and J.R. Smith, we both know they can get 25 points, especially J.R. Smith. They can do that. And then they just didn't. And then at the end of game 6, J.R. Smith's hitting threes from
there's no pressure, then he starts hitting them because the game's over.
You can't. It should have been better. They could have done more.
Well, the person that disappointed me was... their Coach Blatt. I think maybe being bullied by LeBron maybe affected his decisions. Maybe LeBron didn't want to use the bench, but they had Sean Marion on the bench, and okay, he's not the player he was, but he can D up.
Yeah.
He can D up, and he's proven that in playoffs multiple times. And he can hit a three. Like, that corner three,
dodgy.
It might not look pretty, but it's not the worst percentage, and the players that they were playing... Samson didn't have as good a percentage as he did.
I've seen J.R. Smith make prettier shots from full court.
Yeah, but the thing with that is that's what all saying about Coach Blatt is you can see J.R. Smith and Shumpert not playing well and you're not getting Mike Miller. I know he's old.
They've done it before. That's why they brought them in for the playoffs and they didn't play them. And I think we'll go into that LeBron Coach Blatt thing I think next episode because that is a big talking point. And one that I feel very strongly about. But another disappointing thing about the playoffs quickly that you mentioned was Klay Thompson. He didn't actually really get going, even though they won the championship.
Yeah, I wouldn't see why he didn't play well. Like, the Cavs, maybe Shumpert was on him sometimes, but he's tall, he's bigger than Shumpert. I think he should have done much better than what he did.
He had that bit where he got in foul trouble early in game two, where he started to hit fadeaways and started to take over, but then after the foul trouble and after that first quarter died down, nothing really happened again after that. So Klay needed to do better because they were 2-1 down at one point. And
I could see Steph Curry missing shots, but I don't mind his missed shots because you're taking them. I just couldn't see him. He shot like so little sometimes, and I was thinking,
you know what was wrong with me about Klay actually? I just remembered, I can't believe it. Because I really like Klay Thompson, but the shot selection, 5 seconds into a shot clock, one person all over him, and he just chucks it up. You're not going to, well, they did, but you shouldn't win a championship that way. And
well, he's lucky to have.
I would have pulled him out a couple more times than what Kerr did. Any other things before we wrap up?
Rondo.
Yeah.
Rondo let me down. I've always been a Rondo fan. I've defended him in his worst times. And I was saying to I was saying to Mavs fans, be patient with him. He'll have his moments. But when it gets to playoffs, he's Mr. Triple-Double. He's the guy that steps it up. I've lost so much respect for Rondo.
I think when Charlie Villanueva beat him at Connects 4, he just destroyed all of his confidence and he couldn't play. He was like, oh, I've got to get out of Dallas. I've got to be Connects 4 king. And on that note, I think we should wrap up.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, well, thank you for In The Post First podcast. We'll try and do this every few days, probably more likely once a week. We'll wrap up a lot of different things. We won't try and always keep with the news. We'll just try and keep with what we want to talk about and what's interesting, really.
I mean, this is the main points that have happened in the past couple of days, really.
Exactly. I mean, everyone knows the news. We're all on Twitter anyway, so
we'll
just talk about the interesting things.
And we've still got a lot of last season that we can talk about. And, obviously, like LeBron and Coach Black.
It's going to be a long couple of months until October.
And pay attention, draft tonight. So next episode, you might have some trades to look forward to.
Yeah,
I want to see. I think Felton's going to get traded tonight.
I hope not. He's a great player.
Hey, he got a game winner for us. And on that note, right, so.
I've been Sam.
I've been Joe.
And I've been Alan. Take care, guys.